You this morning. Where's the sermon on there? Satan's yeast versus God's medicine. I made a translation mistake while I was doing it from English into Afrikaans, which would read Satan's gif versus God's medicine. And accidentally I typed in my one Satan's gif versus God's gif. And I'm looking at my notes and somewhere, but it's supposed to be medicine, okay? Satan's yeast versus God's medicine. You don't see that, it's just a bit of extra information. When I screen it, I picked it up. I was reading this article in the Joy last night about the concept of sin. And the guy basically mentioned or spoke about the fact that in churches so many times or today, nowadays, in the world out there, that people don't call things as it is anymore. We start watering things down, when it comes to sin. We call it different things. People just live together. We will call it live together. Bible will call it adultery or whatever it is. God is very serious when he's talking about sin. He's not like, that's okay, it's acceptable in the world's eyes. No, not God's eyes. So but don't worry too much. I'm not preaching hell, brimstone and fire this morning, which is just a lot of about that. We need to talk about that, but I want to give you the key this morning, or one of the keys I believe that can help us to overcome that. Because I believe, like me, many of us out there, we're not of the world, but we get in the world at the moment. If you hear what I'm saying, you're struggling, God has given you a new nature, a new heart. I'm running ahead with my sermon, but we're still struggling with sin sometimes, and some stuff that just messes us around. And God just wants to come and cleanse us and just renew us and help us to overcome, to be overcomers. You don't have the nature of a sinner anymore, but God has renewed that, but he's given you the power and he's given you keys. And I don't want to give you three keys this morning. I'm going to give you one key this morning, make it easier, and go back to. But to the beginning. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 7. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 7. It's up there. If you don't have a Bible here. If you don't have a Bible here, you'll have to raise your hand. And next week on the 6th of November, I'll bless you with the Bible. I think right here in Almas, I just had this revelation. We might have to sow here as well. Okay. Don't look around too much, We might feel this. But know this, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 7. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Am I too quick? I hear pages still. Okay. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. What a long list. Where is it going to end, God? Having a form of godliness but denying its power. How many times we see this in church? You've got a form of godliness but inside there's no power, And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You and me live in those days where we see those things, happening around us. Only difference is that the intensity of that will just increase over these last days. There's no doubt about that, that we will see that happening around us as it's already happening around us. We are living in those perilous times, as Paul was writing, where people are lovers of money, lovers of themselves, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, all those things we see around us, unforgiving, slanderous, and the list is endless, just happening around us. And we are exposed to those things. And they made a study, or they did an interview with some people some time ago, and they asked them what they would do if they can win $10 million or $1 million, rand, whatever. What lengths they would go to obtain that $10 million. And 25% of them said they will abandon their families. They can get their hands on that $10 million. 23% said, I'll become a prostitute for 1 week. Look at the lengths that people will go, 16% said, I'll leave my spouse. And then another 10% said, I'll let a murderer go free. And 7% said, I will kill a stranger as long as I can get $10 million in my bank account. That's the lens that people will go. We live in those days when people will do anything for money. and the world is trying to get their attention or our attention. They also made a study with people in the church. They asked them some questions. They asked them whether they believe that the Bible is totally accurate and in the principles they teach. And 49% of them said the Bible is not correct. We have a responsibility to tell others. When they ask people, and this is in America, but which is a very generalized, but I think we can kind of adopt to that as well or identify with that as well. Many things we can, but it gives us an idea of what's happening. They ask them whether you have a responsibility to tell others of Jesus. And only 34% of those people going to churches said, we have to tell others. And they're sitting in church Sunday to Sunday. Then they ask some of them whether they believe in Satan, whether it's a living being, or just symbolic of evil. And 39% of people going to church said, Satan is not real. And we think, oh, 39%, it's happening right now here amongst us in churches, where churches at this moment, specific group has said, we are creating a platform for both groups, where we as a church acknowledge or say we there's a place where you, for those who believe in Satan, and there's for those who do not believe in Satan. Some of the big churches are among us. This is crept in, the yeast of Satan, you know. And then also, they asked them whether Jesus committed sin while living here on earth. And 43% of them said, yes, he committed sin. It just gives you a bit of idea what's happening out there. You know, many times when we're in a small town or like us, you know, you don't know about these things. And when you get out there, you see, man, it's a dark world out there. But thank God there's hope this morning, you know. And that brings me to our new toga. You know, you don't have to worry. In Shofar, we don't wear these toga hood. What do they call it in English? All these churches, you know. So I'm going to wear my new toga. I borrowed this from Mark. You know, so you don't have to worry. It doesn't fit as good, but I'll get it on there, you know. And I'm not the butcher, I said to them, you know. In England, the butcher's got a white thingy on like this, you know. You get there and he will do your choppies for you, you know, and he choppy, you know. But we are known to this, the doctors normally used to. I don't know if they still wear it. I didn't see that lately. I try to stay away from the doctor as far as possible. Mark, please, you know, I'm one of those men, you know, that's afraid of doctors and dentist, you know, only the pain will take me there, but not the will, you know. But the Holy Spirit is searching the earth today. And then he will take this thingy, which they call a stethoscope. He's like, you were my proof canine in the first service. Yeah, I'll make Gilbert my second service. And then he will walk through the earth, then he'll put the stethoscope on the person and say, breathe in. And he wants to hear. Do I hear? Breathe out. Okay, but I must maybe put this thing in my ears, you know. Maybe I should listen. And he will go through the earth. And he'll put his stethoscope all through earth. And every person that it is welcoming him. And he wants to hear if he hears the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. Because sooner or another time, you need a heart transplant. I'm going to take this off now before Mark gives me a job, you know, on Monday. So, he would go through the earth and he tried to find people that need that heart transplant sooner or another time. Every one of us sitting here this morning needs a heart transplant seriously, some or another time in your life. It's whether you want to do that or allow God to do that, because you are born with this sick heart. Ezekiel 11 talks about the heart of stone that needs to be removed. God wants to give you a heart of flesh, a new spirit inside of you, so that you can walk according to God's nature, a new nature. So he gives you this new heart. But then we have another problem. This brings me to the platform what I'm laying. This body and the heart doesn't want to work together a little. It gives you new nature, new heart. The heart plumps, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. New blood, Jesus' blood. But the body still, you know, needs to be renewed. The body's out there, you know. You see, you go, you used to struggle in the bars, you know. You used to be, that alcohol thing was a bit of a problem for you. So now you walk past the bar and the body will tell you, go for a drink. Have one more, have one more, have one more. And then you don't know where to stop. And the heart will pump and say, no, you don't need that. You don't need that. Or you struggled with money, greed, and the thing that you don't know where to stop. It's just all, as long as I can get as much as possible just for me. But your priorities is not arranged. You don't know whether God is first in your finances. And then the flesh will tell you, your body will tell you, make us money. As much money, big house, and do this and that. Nothing wrong with big house. All I'm saying is, as long as you just try to gather everything for yourself, and your mind is not set on the kingdom of God, but the heart pumps and it says, no, Jesus first, God's first, my finance. Or your body will tell you, or the flesh will tell you, don't forgive that person. You've got the right to feel like you feel, you know. But the heart pumps and says, Jesus says, forgive. Forgive them their trespasses. So if the righteous are scarcely saved, like the Bible says, you know, that means that we'll have to guard our gardens, you know. We are the garden keepers or the gardeners of our land. And then God comes and He renews our garden. He plants nice trees and flowers there. But then Satan is the one that sows that wheat. He wants to come and throw that seed in between our garden. And we just need to be alert and say, Lord, there's something wrong here. Something has happened here. That yeast has come into, that weed has come into my garden. We need to make a plan here. 1 John 2 verse 15 to 17 says this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. I want to very broadly categorize, and I believe that all sin can be categorized in those three categories. And not to talk too much about sin, but first of all, this is Satan's yeast. The first one is the lust of the flesh. That lust, this refers to the unbridled desire of the flesh. You know, I need that, I want that, you know, I need to get that, you need to do that, you know. The flesh is calling unto you. It's fighting that war against the spirit, against that new heart that desires, unbridled desires. Galatians 5, 19 to 21 says this, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as also I told you, in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. God is very, very straight when He's talking about sin. That when we practice those things, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we can classify those almost in two groups. Those sexually desires and those social. Yeah. Those, and concluding from this passage. The fornication, adultery, licentiousness. And then you also get the social part, which is hatred, contentiousness, and jealousness, you know, which is very broad now this morning. The second thing, category, I think, is the lust of eyes. The lust of the eyes. We see, we observe, and then we want this. And this refers to that unlawful longing for things which we see. Unlawful. Note that I'm saying unlawful. God doesn't want us to have, you know. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want to bless us. God wants to bless us. But that unlawful longing for more, for that which I see, you know. And it can be summed up nowadays in one word, in materialism, you know. The more I can get, the more I can do this, you know. And I build my own little kingdom where there's no place for God in that kingdom, you know. But it's all about me, what I desire. And God is very serious when He's talking about it in Colossians 3 verse 5 to 7 when He says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience in which yourselves once walked when you lived in them. He's very serious when He talks about that. Then the third one, pride of life. Now this can be many things. We can find pride in many things. It can be our age, our experience, our ancestry, our accomplishment, our past accomplishments, our money, our position, our power, whatever it might be. But sooner or another time, you know, I mentioned it in the first service as well. Like Louis Giglio once said, you know, he had a sermon about humility, and he said, that's that like that little seed or demon that's sitting here, you know, waiting for the right water just to germinate. Anyone, every one of us is carrying that, you know. You might have it under control right now, but sometime you get into a different situation where you are just promoted, and suddenly that seed is watered, and now there's voices in your ear and saying, you know, you can feel like you feel, you know, you're a good man. Look at what you've accomplished, you know. You become superior, you know. And then you have to deal with that thing again till you've undermined that thing and cut it off, you know. But then a new promotion comes and you have to fight humility again, you know. Continuously we have to be at that place where we have to fight to stay humble before God. Because God hates it, you know, when we are prideful. The Word says, in actual fact, that God will resist us when we're full of pride, you know. And that is one of the categories, the pride of life, you know. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 31 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." This is one of my favorite scriptures. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, you know. And you realize, Lord, that what I have is from you. The Word says in Psalm that everything, the whole earth and everything, is the Lord's inheritance. It belongs to him, you know. We cannot claim to anything. And just a few notes, you know, about these three categories, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, you know. And I say it's not always like that. But it's got a tendency to certain stages in our life to come and attack us or become more difficult or challenging. Lust of the flesh is often when you are young, you know, you desire those things and you cannot control those unbridled desires. And then you will get in your middle age and you start working and, you know, you earn money and you're becoming more successful. And then the lust of the eyes. I want that attraction of the world so I can get more of that and I can build more of this and I do this and this, and it attracts you, it gets your attention. And then when you grow older, you start to fill yourself with pride. Not always, but I say it's got the trend to do that many times. And we have to guard our hearts, we have to guard our lives against that, you know. Likewise, we often, you know, we're quick to, and this is the thing in the church, it happens and it happens all everywhere, that we're quick to judge those sins, the first two very often, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, because it's visible, you know. We can see when somebody's made an error there or made a mistake, you know. We're soon too quick to judge them. But then the pride of life sometimes is not so visible. God sees that. And somebody might come across like they humble, but God knows the heart, you know. I'm not saying you have to go out there and find one. All I'm saying is God knows the heart, you know, and we have to be humble for God. You don't have to impress anybody. But it brings me to the hope. Oh, that's enough of sin this morning. I want to give you the key this morning. This is where we're getting. Okay, I've got Mark here now, so I have to. I'm giving a medical sermon here this morning, so I have to prepare you. I did a bit of homework, and hopefully, there's something that you will get from this. Romans 12 verse 2 says this: "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And then Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." God talks here about one thing, because all sin starts out there. You are up here, but you observe, you see, then you desire, but it needs to go through here. And this is the key I want to talk about this morning: our minds that need to be renewed. If we can control this thing here, then we've won the battle primarily, you know. Then we've overcome in a big way. If we can control our mind, renew our mind, then we don't have to focus on sin all the time. We can just control this. They've proven, and I believe that you will agree with me this morning, that there's a real connection between our mind and our body, you know, that what we think affects us emotionally, intellectually, you know, and physically, spiritually, you know, what we dwell on here will affect the rest of our body. And Jay Allen once said that you are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. There's an area in our mind known as the free will, which God has given us, you know. In that little area, that box where any thought or anything from the outside needs to pass through, is that decision area where you, me decide what we're going to do with what we've observed, what we've seen, what we've experienced, you know. And likewise with the free will, we know that our emotions is also a product of our thoughts, of what we're thinking upon, what we're meditating. Likewise, if we think on negative things, our emotions will follow like that as well, or that will be a consequence of that. Sinful things that will come out if we birth that here or we meditate upon that. Proverbs 4:23 says that you have to guard your heart because out of that flows the issues of life. We have to guard our heart. In other words, we have to guard that place, that safe place where the information goes in our heart as well. So your life is an expression of your thoughts today, if I can put it that way. You are going to become what you think. Okay, positive talker. What do they call it? Motivational speaker. That's what I'm saying. You have to think positive and you do this. They come and tell you all this, but this is already in the Bible. God already told us long ago. So they don't know it, but they get all those principles anyway from the Bible. And then they come and they pay thousands of rands, you know, and they come and they motivate the people and tell you, you have to think this, you know, but God gave it in his words many thousand years ago, you know, and it's working. Likewise, Satan knows that as well. He knows. He can control this thing. He can control your mind a little bit. Then he can steer you in a direction where he wants you. Now, here's where my medical skills come in. Okay, don't laugh here. I've adapted this from other teachings and other sources. But they say to me, can I have the picture up there? That the brain nerve is looking like a tree. Mark, don't say if it's yes or no. Tell me afterwards if I'm wrong. But this is what they say. The nerve looks like a tree, okay? I don't know what tree it is, but you can decide what kind of tree it is. But those that part at the bottom there, they call it, let me just make sure on my notes, I don't call it something else, an axon or a trunk. And then the branches, if we can call it, they call it dendrites. I hope I pronounced this right, okay? But it's for the sake of that, we call it a tree, okay? I'm not going to become too technical here. But I want to make a point here this morning. That when we get information from the outside, that little tree is being builded. That information comes into our free will. We decide where we want to go with that information. And then the brain is processing it and is building that little tree. Now, the average human, they say, has got 100 trillion nerves. One of those, 100 trillion. Think about it. I cannot imagine the amount. Yet, on each one of them, they say you can build 70,000 branches. So that tree can have, that's just one nerve, can build 70,000. So take 100 trillion multiplied by 70,000. That's a lot of information you can store up there. They say it's about, I don't know, this mathematic guy say about 3 million years of information you can store up here. It's just amazing. That's why they say the brain only matures, you know. I'm not talking when you're sick, I'm talking about the normal person, you know. The body is going down, but the brain is just maturing, provided that you feed it and you do the right stuff. You know, it's one of those organs. That's what I've been told. But now we have many of this, now 200 trillion, you know, of them up there. The quality of the information that's going in there, that's our branches. Okay, that's the nerve that looks like that. That's what they say it looks like. The quality of the information is determined by you and me. We decide how we want to build that tree, how that tree will look. And that one at the bottom, which is dark, that is a stronger tree. The other ones up there is not as strong. So you decide the tree that you want to build. And the Bible calls it a negative stronghold. Many times when we sow negative things or we build, he's talking about that in 2 Corinthians 10:5. He says, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we have to let our minds filter those things in that free will area. Now, this is the thing which I want to bring us to. When we observe, when we see out there, you know, we live in a sinful world. We are renewed now. I'm talking about we as Christian or whatever. Me as Christian, when we're out there, you know, and we live in the world, and each one of us, you know, the attractions of the world will be different for each one of us. You know, you might have struggled with this, so Satan will always try to tempt you and draw you away with that. Or you might have try and get your attention with this. It's different for each one of you. I used the example in the first service about, say for instance, you're a man, you struggled with lust, you know. Now a woman passed by, beautiful girl, you know, from Baywatch or whatever, what's that program, you know, I remember. Anyway, she's passing by, you know, and straight away you observe. Now that information goes, and now that's in the free will area. This is where you have to decide what you're doing with that information now. You can meditate upon that, or you can just realize straight away, this is Satan, he's busy doing, working here with me. The moment when you reject that thought, they say, I've been told, that just becomes hot air. So nothing happens with that information. But when you start meditating upon that, you're building a tree there. You're busy building more branches on that tree. Or shall I say that tree of lust. Now you're suddenly building a tree of lust here in your brain. Now then, you cannot understand why every time you get in a situation like that, why can't you overcome? It might be anything else. It might be that desire for things that God doesn't want you to be. You cannot understand because you meditate upon that thing. You're building that little tree and it becomes stronger and stronger. Thank God it's the other way around as well. When you meditate upon the word and you spend time with God and you think about that thing, you're building a positive tree. You're making that tree stronger. That's why they say, I don't know how much, they say the trees look apparently different. Can I have another picture up there? That is, they say that the great way, fancy words, the electromagnetic fields of the bad tree looks differently. It looks like a thorn tree, this black spot, just for the sake of the picture, than the ones with positive memories. That looks different. So you've got two groups here. That's not the same. If you look at the next one, you'll see that this is apparently a lush tree or a healthy tree of our memories in our mind. And the longer we meditate upon that bad stuff or that thing comes in our minds, if we can control it there with sin or anything that comes through our free will area, we can decide which tree we want to feed this morning, how strong we're going to make that this morning. And I've been told that you cannot wipe out those trees. You cannot just pull it out and say, oh, I don't want that anymore. Clean my brain. It doesn't work like that. That's why you will have memories of bad things sometimes that happen to you. Doesn't mean that you will forget about it, because you will know that even if something really bad happened to you, a girl was raped and she had a bad experience of feeling like nothing, you know, and belittled and everything, she will always remember that it happened to her. But the emotions and the process around that, that's God wants to heal. That's why when they even in secular world that the people that deal with people that do cognitive therapy, they will tell you, in order to, you cannot just build a plant, a rose among the thorns. You have to deal with those old things first, you know. You have to forgive. You have to let go. You have to just, you cannot wipe it out. You have to do that, let that process happen. But then, this is the thing. You have to build a new tree. Because now your brain is still tuning. That last tree is still your default. Every time you get into the company of women, then you feed that thing. Now you get saved, or God is dealing with you with that specific thing, whatever situation it might be, you know. Now you have to build a new tree. This is the renewing process. This is where it comes in, where you say, Lord, I'm renewing my mind. I'm thinking positively. I'm thinking what you put. I put my mind upon those things, upon Christ, upon what you say in the situation. And you build this tree and it becomes stronger and stronger. And what eventually happens is, instead of that tree, that lustful tree, or the tree of lust, that will not be the default tree anymore. The other one becomes the default tree. So that when you walk into a situation, 2, 3, 4 years from now, you've been strengthened in God. You've built that tree. Your mind is renewed. Now you're exposed to the same thing. Nothing changed from the previous time when Satan tried to tempt you. Same situation. But now you're stronger. You know now that is not the right thing to do. You don't look at that woman like that. You see her as a woman of God suddenly, you know. Straight away, is that your immediate reaction, your immediate emotion, and not the other one, because you build it. And that's what God means when he says, renew our mind. And the good news this morning is, you know, they say that even if you've built a memory or a entire life of 40, 50, 60 years of bad, negative things, you can restructure. Let me just rephrase here, or mentioned it very clearly. You can restructure your brain in 4 days of positive thinking. I'm not saying that you will overcome the thing. All I'm saying is that you can start restructuring this thing. But the thing which we struggle many times with is our bad habits. This sin that we are struggling with in our minds is most of the time a bad habit that you have to break, a pattern that you have to break. That takes time, you know. I'm not saying you're going to be free, walk out of here in 4 days, not prophesying that. But I believe that if we just come to that place where we say, God, I'm available, reconstruct this thing, you know, help me to break this pattern, to think positively. I can renew my mind. I've got the key and I will be overcoming. I end up with this verse in Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These are the things which I want to meditate on when God says so. Let's close with a story. I mentioned this in February when I was here as well, first time. That in America, in one of the leading newspapers, the Houston Chronicle, there was a photo of a woman and she was leaning on the chest of a young man. There was a photo on the front page. And underneath the photo, you could see it was in a hospital environment. Underneath the photo was written, she's listening to the heartbeat of her only son. But then there was written a little article about it. And it came down to this, that the son was a donor, heart donor. And he died in an accident. They took his heart. They transplanted it into another young man's body. And she was listening to the heartbeat of her only son. And that's exactly what God came when he sent Jesus. He took his heart and he transplanted it into us. And if God needs to take that stethoscope this morning and he puts it on our heart as a Christian, now there's somebody out there in the world, what will he hear? Will he still hear it pumping? Jesus, Jesus. Or somewhere along the line, you ate too much fat and nonsense. This cholesterol has narrowed your, you know, and the blood doesn't pump through anymore. God wants to just heal that this morning again. Say, Lord, I want that to pump for you, Lord. The time when we were just saved was just pumping, pumping, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But along the way somewhere, I messed around in the world. God just says, I need to clean you. I need to do a little bit of operation again there and just cleanse that and make it broad again. They say when they do those things. Well, God needs to get in our minds for a moment and just say, Lord, I just allow you for one day just to sit here and just see what's happening in my mind and observe and tell me, is this godly things I'm thinking of? If you allow God just for one day, just give him permission for one day, say, Lord, I allow you this morning just to observe what I'm thinking about, what I'm meditating on. And then tonight when we have time again, just tell me, did I honor you? Did I please you? And we give God time to reconstruct our mind, to just to come and renew our thoughts. Let's close our eyes. Father, we just come to you this morning. And oh Lord, you are so graceful and gracious to us, Lord, this morning that we just want to thank you, Father. Father, we thank you that you still have time for us, Lord, that we are in a process of being renewed, Lord, day by day, Lord. And many times we just mess it up, Lord. And we might have come to a place in our lives, Lord, where our heart is not pumping anymore as well, Lord. Our minds has been polluted with all kinds of things out there. But Father, you want to give us good news this morning, that you want to renew that, that you want to just heal our hearts again this morning and just allow us to pump for you, Lord Jesus. Our passion to increase for you again, Lord. Just to come to that place again, Lord, where all our heart is pumping for us, for you, Lord Jesus. So, Father, in this week, we just want to give you time, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you will just come and search our minds, Lord, that you will just come and take possession of that for one day. That's all we ask you, Lord, just one day, where we are right now, Lord, that you will just come and, Lord, examine our thoughts, Lord. Lord, when we come to the end of the day, that we will have to sit down, Lord, and just ask you, Lord, did that please you? Did I honor you today with my thoughts, Lord? Was I an overcomer this morning or that day, Lord? Father, I pray that you will give us the boldness, Lord, but you will give us the grace to overcome, Lord, the grace to reconstruct our minds, Lord, for what is going through that free will area, Lord, where we make that decision whether we meditate upon that or not, Lord. And Lord, we know if we if we can make the right decision there, Lord, that we will be overcomers, Lord. That we do not have to focus on the sin, but that we will focus on you, Lord. And through that, Lord, we will overcome. In Jesus' name, amen.